This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction, with a home sold every 9 hours. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, online at ryandallasre.com.
It's showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
When we come back, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
If you're going to talk shit, talk shit.
It's 4:40. We haven't taken a break, and Lon's forgotten the text line number.
Woohoo!
I have no idea where you're going with that.
All right. Man, I'm like almost getting in that mode where I'm needing basketball games about every night. Illinois, that is. I'm needing it.
Especially, I've missed the last two games.
So I'm really needing an Illinois game to watch. And, of course, tomorrow, is that a 3 o'clock tip?
3:30.
3:30. Okay. We've got, let's see, a noon JV game to 1:15. Yeah, we're going to get out just in time. Get somewhere and watch that game, Illinois-Northwestern. Derek Piper, by the way, is sitting next to me. I'm Lon Tay. Trevor Valise in the other room. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper here on ESPN 93.5. You don't think going against a, 2-7, 2-8 Northwestern team that it's going to be tough. But, Derek, I can promise you this game tomorrow will not be easy. What does Northwestern do that makes things so difficult? And, by the way, we'll visit with Michael Fitzpatrick. He's the beat writer for Wildcatreport.com. I'm Ron Burgundy. Wildcatreport.com. We'll visit with Michael at 4:30 today and get his thoughts on this Northwestern team. I mean, I know they have Pete Nance. They've got a decent little inside game. They're a squad that every year they run that little same offense, that there's a lot of movement, always gets, you know, their big guys out on the perimeter getting open looks. But this is a team that does not back down. I mean, they wanted East Lansing. They took Michigan to the wire in Ann Arbor. So what a trip to Michigan for Northwestern. What do you think from what you see from them is something and gives them the intangible quality it is to just go ahead and be a thorn in everybody's side?
It's a great question. I wish I had a better answer. Hopefully
maybe Brad
Michael
knows.
Fitzpatrick would know that one a little bit better than I, as he's has certainly watched and followed this team, and just seemingly each and every Big Ten game is in a dogfight outside of the Purdue game where they get blown out
right
on the road in Mackey. But other than that, they took Michigan to the wire. They played really tight with Wisconsin at home, played tight with Michigan State at home, beat Michigan State on the road.
Crazy.
Pete Nance right there is a really good player, and you look at his Big Ten stats, and he's putting up 16-7 a game. Like, he's a really darn good player. We know Boo Booey is capable of those high ceiling games.
Yes.
Like, he could go for a 25.
It's a good
maybe
call.
He's scored 30 in the past. Illinois did a really good job, I think, of limiting him last year, but he has that potential to go off. Ryan Young's giving them good production as a backup
he's
big man
really
who's
good.
Got really nice footwork
mm-hmm.
and can score around the basket. But you look at their analytics, and they're 11th in the conference in offensive efficiency. They're 12th in defensive efficiency. They don't guard the three well. They don't shoot from two well. They shoot 34% from three on their own. They're middle of the pack rebounding wise, which I guess is maybe a little bit better than you would have expected.
Right. I agree.
Northwestern, not very athletic. They probably don't rebound it great. I don't know.
It's crazy. And Pete Nance missed the game at East Lansing, I believe. I don't believe he was there.
That's right.
So I think Ryan Young had an unbelievable game. Boo Booey, you said it right. I mean, Boo Booey's one of those guys that going into a game, you're always going to notice Boo. I mean, you know, just the name itself, but he certainly has the ability. He's kind of like Fats Russell of Maryland, where he has the ability to kind of take over a game on the offensive end for that Northwestern team. So, you know, I mean, look, this is a game that Illinois should take care of business. They should go get the win in Evanston. There'll be a lot of Illini fans, as there always are when we go, when Illinois, that is, goes to Evanston. So I guess it's just a matter of just take care of business. But, you know, if you don't have Curbelo and you don't have Kofi, I even thought of this the other day, and this is terrible. And it just goes back so many years where who was the one dude from Arizona that played at Northwestern and he almost single-handedly got Northwestern to the NCAA tournament? Do you remember him? I think his mom was sick. Do you recall any of this?
Kevin Coble.
I mean, and he was so good. And it goes back to those days where it always seems like they've got that stretch four or that five guy that can go out and hit that perimeter shot. And I recall the days and that I go down this thought process. But like when Nana Egwu was always able to get out and defend that. But then other than that, so yesterday I started thinking, well, I guess if you're going to miss Kofi for one more game, maybe it's not the worst thing against a Northwestern team that loves to expose a big guy out on the perimeter. They love to bring you out like with Ryan Young or Pete Nance, who's tall, and shoot over you. And that's kind of, if they're hitting that shot, they can be really hard to beat. If they're not hitting that shot, then you pretty much have them where you want them.
Yeah, as long as you're not getting back cut. You're staying disciplined with your defense and that whole kind of thing. I will say I was watching some of the Northwestern Michigan game, their last game, and they early on were getting exploited by Michigan, who hasn't shot the three all that great up to this point. It's Caleb Houston, that freshman,
right,
who's a really good shooter, at least coming in, has not shot the three all that great. They were doubling Dickinson, and that left the corners open, that left shooters open. Illinois, if we assume that, or if there is a case, and there is, that Kofi plays this game, if Northwestern tries that attack on Kofi, we know that plays right into what Illinois has done for so long without Curbelo, is throw it into Kofi. If they double, there's open shooters. Great spot for Plummer, Grandison, Luke Goody.
Frazier.
That would play right into Illinois' offense having a good game against Northwestern. Now, it was interesting, even thinking back to last year in Evanston, the contrast of the first half where Northwestern was up double digits and Illinois didn't have any energy in that game. That would kind of play into, if you're talking about what could scare you, I guess looking past Northwestern, just falling into playing down to their level.
That's fair.
And then in the second half, Illinois only let them score 13 points and just completely dominated them and blew them off the floor. So I don't know. And also, like, Boo Booey scored 30 against Michigan State last year and then scored zero against Illinois. That's kind of the highs and lows of the Boo Booey experience. And I don't know what you're going to get.
Well, and, you know, it is one of those where I do still believe that the Maryland game is the outlier. The loss to Purdue, I feel like Purdue just beat you. And the Maryland game, while they certainly beat you by double figures, I just feel like Illinois just didn't show up. That just wasn't a game that was one that you're going to look back on with any kind of thought. So it's almost like, okay, you've had your hiccup. You had your hiccup leading into the Michigan State game. Now you're leading into a Wisconsin game that will be a battle for first, just like the Michigan State game was. Let's don't have that other hiccup. And, you know, you're fresh off what Brad Underwood called a culture win. Well, here's a chance to get another one, especially if Kofi and Andre aren't playing. Now, I have no idea if Andre was a COVID or a bad cold or whatever it was. I assume since he wasn't there, maybe more of the COVID. Does the timing work to where he would be back for this game tomorrow?
The timing could work.
Okay.
When you think about, he did play in the Maryland game, so we don't know for sure. If you would have been out that Maryland game, we could have started the count. Well, if you go back to Michigan State on Tuesday, he was already in COVID protocol, so 5 days is the minimum of the isolation. If
he started Saturday after the game.
Right. If he started Saturday, he would be cleared. You're if good. He was either asymptomatic throughout or his symptoms had improved. Okay. Now, Brad told us, and I know that he wasn't going to divulge all the details about Curbelo or Kofi. He told us that Curbelo, as of today, hadn't done anything with the team.
Okay.
So that if you take him at his word, you would assume that is puts him in very much in question for tomorrow. He said that Kofi's still going through concussion protocol.
This'll end, won't it? Won't it at some point Illinois is going to get healthy, stay healthy, more importantly, and show us the kind of team they can be down the stretch. There's still enough time, right, Derek? I mean, there's still enough time. And not only that, but the way this schedule just front-loaded a lot of winnable games at home against the tougher opponents and some winnable games on the road against the not-so-tough opponents when you're talking Minnesota, you're talking Nebraska, you're talking Northwestern. And then all of a sudden you look at that second half of the schedule where you're going to a lot of these places like Michigan, Michigan State, et cetera, Purdue, Indiana. So, you know, it's one of those where I guess if you want to look at it from a positive point of view, you've kind of gone through the injuries, you've gone through the sickness, you've gone through all of this while you still had kind of some winnable games. Now, that doesn't mean you should just expect to throw out two possible all Big Ten players and still beat Michigan State, but you did that. And I just feel like, man, at some point, and maybe staring at the rest of this schedule that's going to get a lot tougher due to a lot of these big games being on the road, maybe then you get healthy. Maybe then you see what your team's all about. And through February into March, now all of a sudden you finally got your unit back. I mean, it's just amazing how Kofi and Curbelo have played together for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild to think about. I know,
how good they were together last year.
Right. I know you wish it would be like a certain checklist of, okay, during a season, you're going to go through all of these challenges. And now that we've front-loaded it and had all of our issues, we should be good the rest of the way. It doesn't necessarily work that way.
Right.
But in your mind, you think, okay, so the full team or a good majority of the team had the flu early on in November and in December. Then 10 guys tested positive for COVID during the COVID pause. Now we're assuming Curbelo makes that 11, so there's not much more of that to go through. You got two guys who've had concussions. You've got Trent, who had the bone bruise and the shoulder injury.
Goody was out a couple of
Goody
games.
Goody was out. Hutch is out for the
Hutch
season.
Hutch is out the entire year.
You should be.
Oh, my goodness.
On the karma standpoint.
Right.
In for a nice, smooth stretch through, at least by mid-February, on through the postseason play. But last year, as we talked about before, you were fairly fortunate.
Yes.
Other than the IO.
That's a good point.
Hit to the face and broken nose and concussion. But I don't know. Illinois has been through, and we see it under the microscope here in Champaign versus outside the rest of what other teams in college basketball are going through. But those who pay attention nationally have said Illinois has gone through more of this than anybody. And I think that seems to be the case.
You just brought up a word nationally that ticked off Brad Underwood. So there is a list of 15 players that are eligible to win the Defensive Player of the Year. I believe it's 15 or is it 25? I believe it's 15. It doesn't matter.
I think 15.
Okay,
right.
Even if it's 25, whatever the case, there's one guy that wasn't on that, and that's Trent Frazier. And I heard Kent Brown this morning on with Stevie and Diane, and Kent said it right. Trent's not one of those guys that goes out and gets a lot of steals. He obviously doesn't block shots. So those are two stats that are they're quantified, right? In other words,
yep,
they are stats that if you're Tom Smith making that up in New Jersey and you've got to vote for the National Player of the Year, you get on the steals list and you're like, well, Trent Frazier's not in the top 50 in America, let's say. Again, making that up. As well, obviously not going to be on the blocks list. So Tom Smith has maybe seen Trent Frazier play one game, and it may have been an outlier game where he wasn't that good, maybe against Maryland even. And yet we understand how Trent Frazier, it doesn't matter how tall the dude is, Trent Frazier's taking, for the most part, the best player on the other team, and what he's done all season except for maybe one or two occasions is shut that guy down. And there is no doubt in my mind that Trent Frazier is a all-defensive player, first-team all-defense in the Big Ten, possible player of the year in the Big Ten, and yet now not even recognized for the National Defensive Player of the Year. And that is something that Brad Underwood started the press conference with today, and he is not happy at all.
I want to first start off and say what a joke, how disappointed I am that Trent Frazier, obviously, nobody has a clue what defense is, that he's not on that award finalist list. Obviously, they don't talk to college coaches. More than likely, our style of play probably doesn't allow him to get enough steals. but they look at all the wrong numbers. They don't look at the opponents that he guards numbers when he plays them, because usually it's a night off for that person. Really, really disappointed. He's the best defender in the country. I look at what Ayo Dosunmu's doing in the NBA. He's number one in terms of guys guarded and ball screen usage and effectiveness. And Trent Frazier is better than him. And obviously our style of play hurts him. But I want it out there publicly. It's not a Defensive Player of the Year award, in my opinion, if he's not on it. I'm ticked off. I'm frustrated. I'd like to know who the committee is that puts that nonsense together. But it's obviously not intelligent people who are uninformed about styles of play and how defense truly impacts winning.
Who?
Boom.
Perfect. You know, I sit there and I laugh. He was explaining Ayo in the NBA and trying to explain the different areas where Ayo rates really well in the NBA. And even Brad Underwood, who talks basketball every day and coaching basketball, and he couldn't even remember hardly the little stats or whatever they're called. But here's what it boils down to. Now, we all live by analytics now. To my chagrin, we all live by analytics. Are there not analytics out there that point to the fact that Trent Frazier is one of the top 15 defensive players in the country? Or have we not advanced to the point of the defensive side yet, and maybe we're more on the offense? Does KenPom not rate?
KenPom does not.
Okay, it's his fault!
Now, Synergy does.
Can you get him on the air, Trevor, like right now, can you call Ken Pomeroy or whatever his name is? Okay, who does Synergy?
Synergy.
Isn't that a drink?
It might be. Synergy is a website that coaches often use. It has a lot of...
Cool.
It clips up possession by possession and tributes usage by player, and they actually do defense. And it's funny you ask, because Jeremy and I were looking at these earlier today in response to what Brad had to say, but... He is 91st percentile in the NCAA in terms of just overall defense.
Okay, I don't believe that.
You think it's higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's top 15.
Period. I mean, yeah, I will say this includes all the NCAA.
Right. So some dude at Belmont.
Colgate,
who's guarding a guy from Belmont.
Yes.
And rates higher than Trent Frazier, who's guarding Jaden Ivey.
You need
who's
context.
Going to be a... I'm not yelling at you.
No, I'm yelling at you.
But it's like, okay, you got, you know, little Johnny Smith over here at Belmont guarding this dude. And it's like, oh, and by the way, Trent Frazier's checking Jaden Ivey.
Correct.
Who's going to be a lottery guy probably in the NBA.
So context matters. Number two, when you look at analytics, they're imperfect even in the sense of a player has to take a shot against you to be able to for that to count. So Trent, in a lot of times, doesn't even allow you the space to take a shot. So that's to Brad's point about looking at the fact of guys who may not even get their clips up against Trent, let alone make baskets. But to that point, I mean, opponents against Trent this year are shooting 29% from the field, which is pretty darn good when you consider the overall usage, who he's guarding, in what league he's guarding them.
Yeah.
And then there's the eye test part of it, the Lante evaluation, which let's get back to that.
Well, and let's be honest, if you're a national guy, you probably watched Illinois against Arizona, and Arizona did pretty well there in terms of scoring, right? Even they Trent's did. Guy. What, did he guard the dude with the headband?
Kerr Kariza.
Yeah, who had like 29 or something in that game. Now, again, he's...
Most in the second half.
Right.
And I think that... With Mathurin going off, there were possessions where Illinois said, okay, you got to get Mathurin sometimes because he's just going to kill us.
And, of course, Trent, you know, and listen, I don't think you should look at Trent and say, well, he's a little bit smaller, so we're going to rate him higher defensively. No, I'm not asking you to do that. But the point is, like, Mathurin is like 6'6 or 6'7, and Trent's trying to check him. And then, you know, you look at some of the games, Purdue, he had Jaden Ivey until they finally switched to Sasha, because Sasha was crushing you with DeMonte guarding him or whomever was trying to guard him. And then, you know, who are some of the other guys that he's checked? I mean, he checked Ayala for Maryland, and Ayala, who I'm thinking of his teammate last year that was Defensive Player of the Year that went to Marquette. Why all of a sudden I can't... Marcel,
yep.
So he checked Ayala. He checked probably on Iowa. Who would he have guarded there? I mean, would that have been Bohannon? Would that have been McCaffrey? Maybe
probably would have been Bohannon.
Bohannon probably, who didn't do much.
He was guarding Max Christie.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, who had one bucket, and it was when Trent wasn't in with Max Christie.
Yes.
I mean, you could go down the list. How about Michigan? I'm assuming he was guarding
Brooks.
I don't think it was Brooks. I think it was Devontae Jones, right? And Jones was horrible against you. So I don't know. I know I'm yelling for.
A texter asked 91st percentile, meaning top 9%. Yes, correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant 91st overall in the country.
No, 91st percentile of the NCAA. So in the top 9% the entire NCAA.
Totally my fault. Thank you to the 217. And sorry, Derek. I thought, because I'm so used to, like for instance, when Trevor was breaking down Jacob Grandison on KenPom, he had him like the 13th ranked player in the country at one point. So I thought you meant he was ranked as the 91st best defensive player. I was like, no, I don't buy that. Okay, so now I understand why you looked at me strange.
This is math on air.
There's a lot of times you look at me strange, and I'm always like, what? Why are you looking at me strange? Okay, that makes a lot more sense now. So I do agree with that.
Also,
I do agree with that.
Devontae Jones has had one good game this year, and it was against Illinois.
I thought he didn't. Oh, no, he did have a good game against us.
I'm just throwing out stat corrections while I can.
Yeah, right. Just jump in when you can. Who am I thinking of that he absolutely shut down besides Max Christie? It was here at State Farm Center. I know there was a game, I just don't have him in front of me, where he absolutely shut a guy down. And I think the only time he scored is when Trent wasn't, and I'm not just talking about Max Christie. But it doesn't matter. You're right. Devontae Jones did have a big game against us. So, I don't know. Did he guard Verge for Nebraska? And he didn't do much.
He did guard Verge.
And he didn't do, I mean, he did he okay. He did okay, I
and
guess.
And he took his 17 or 18 shots,
yeah, right.
I think.
Yeah, because that was even the game where I told Trevor, I'm like, well, of course Verge will do well because he's from Illinois, and all of those guys do that. All right, well,
I understand why Brad is mad to the extent of you would think that if it's impossible to watch every defender, even in the high major level,
yeah.
If you're just going to do the lazy counting stats, let's look who has the most steals, look who has the most blocks. How about ask some coaches around the league, who's the toughest defender in this league? I think that's where Trent Frazier would be on a top 15 list easily.
You know, honestly, because you could probably ask one of any coach in the Big Ten. Couldn't you? Doesn't every coach in the postgame rave about Trent Frazier for the most part? So, I agree with you. I mean, he could have just literally handpicked one coach from the Big Ten, and they probably would have said how good Trent Frazier is. So, I don't know. All right. I'm glad, though, that we Lindy, good call. It was Rutgers, right? Was that the Rutgers
I know Baker
game?
Didn't play in that game.
Who did he check in that one?
Well, the Orange Crush checked Mulcahy. We didn't even need anyone to guard him.
Do we have to go there? We still do, don't we?
Yes.
The old rack.
By we, you're including me in that because
that's right.
I have to go there.
You have to go there. Anything exciting to do around that area?
I don't know.
I assume there is. That's a pretty big area, isn't it? I don't know. It doesn't matter. All right, so I messed that all up.
Maybe you were thinking of Peyton Willis.
That's who it is.
He only had
that's
seven.
That's exactly who it is.
He had 7 points on 2 of 11 shooting when Trent checked him in Minneapolis.
Thank you. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
I appreciate that. Trevor literally is my spell check. If there's a human version of spell check, it's Trevor. When it comes to me, that's exactly who I'm thinking of. Peyton Willis, who the other night, by the way, had like 32 in an upset over Rutgers, right? That's when everybody, Battle and all those guys, were out for Minnesota. All right, well, I'm glad I cleared myself up at least, and I'm glad that you guys corrected me on the 91st percentile. So I do agree with that now that I understand it a little bit better. All right, thank you to all our texters. You can continue to text in at 359-2255. We have Michael Fitzpatrick, beat writer for Wildcat Report. .com. We're going to break down Northwestern a little bit better with Michael. You can always follow us on Twitter at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms. All platforms. I did the pause there. I was trying to mimic you, and I messed it all up. Dang it. All platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com.
Boom.
You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is Friday, right?
It is.
The Drive. Long's Garage in Urbana prides themselves on being the one-stop shop for vehicle and tire repair. Whether you're looking for new tires or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, the ASC-certified technicians at Long's can help. In fact, Kumho Tires is running an instant rebate sale right now. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. So visit Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942. Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton, and we've got some great news to share. Bump your flavors up a notch with our barbecue sauces, rub, and hot pickles. Pop by for some of the best brisket around, the juiciest smoked turkey you've ever had. Enjoy some ice-cold local beers and check out our famous Paxton Punch made with real Tennessee moonshine. Order online at humblehogbbq.com or pick them up at our restaurant in Paxton.
The Delta variant spreads two times faster. Delta puts unvaccinated people in the hospital. Delta is deadly. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Defeat Delta. Let's go all in, Illinois.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable.
Call Gina today at 217-352-5400 or visit them online at abcheatingandac.com. That's abcheatingandac.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It's the drive, Tay and Piper. I only have to be good for 30 more minutes. And I was horrible in the first segment. Randy did ask about DeMonte. Does he get enough credit for defense? You and I were talking about it. I feel like DeMonte is that guy that does a lot of those little things that maybe don't show up. For instance, you know, a guy beats his guy, so he helps out and then recovers on his own guy. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of times DeMonte is a lot shorter than who he's thrown up against, like with a four guy, et cetera. So I think DeMonte is definitely someone I think that does get credit for the way he plays defense, and I'm guessing other coaches appreciate the idea that going into a game, they think, okay, we may have an advantage here because of the height difference, but yet then DeMonte still does a pretty good job of checking.
Yeah, he battles. He's physical. He Who is. He's asked to guard in a certain game can change. You're like, all right, you're guarding the four.
Now good call.
Trent comes out, you're guarding the point guard. Yep. That is certainly a big challenge. I know that locally he's appreciated to
yes.
the extent that he should be. Maybe in, or across the Big Ten or not nationally. I'm guessing Brad would
be nice.
Say not nationally either.
And he does lead the country, by the way, in balls going out of bounds, so he's going to save it off the other guy's groin.
Specialty of his.
He is the king of that. All right, it is time to talk some Northwestern basketball with Michael Fitzpatrick, beat writer for WildcatReport.com. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I asked Derek Piper this question to begin the show. What is it about this Northwestern team that makes them, even at 2-6, 2-7, 2-8, what makes them such a thorn in the side with regards to beating them? Because it seems as though, except for the Purdue game, they are in every game and they make it a battle to the end.
Yeah, I think that's I know Northwestern's clearly talented. They've shown that. I think their issue and why so many of the losses are close is they don't seem to finish games. They shoot themselves in the foot a lot towards the end. So, I mean, they're a couple made free throws away from being 5-4 in the Big Ten instead of 2-7. So it's a lot of little things that they cost themselves games with that they probably should have won otherwise.
You know, and then they have the game where Pete Nance sits out and they win at Michigan State. And, of course, Michigan State, as we've seen as Illinois fans, and obviously you saw probably covering that game, Michigan State is certainly not helpful to themselves. They throw the ball away numerous times. But what made Northwestern so good in that game against that Michigan State squad?
It was definitely Ryan Young. He filled in at the five for Nance. He had 18 points, 8 rebounds. So I think they changed their play style a little bit. They weren't as up-tempo five out. They like to do that with Nance, try and spread people out, go fast. But with Young, it was a lot slower, more methodical, and they made it a more low-scoring game. And then Michigan State could have sent it to overtime with free throws at the end, and they missed. So Michigan State did what Northwestern usually does and lost the game.
Michael, when you see Pete Nance averaging 16 points, 7 rebounds a game in Big Ten play, even 3 assists, so a lot going through him offensively, what challenges does he present for an opposing big? And if you think about if Kofi is to play in this game, a guy that is going to man the paint a lot, his ability to go outside, how big of a challenge is that, do you think, for Kofi?
Yeah, I think definitely on the perimeter, that's advantage Pete against Kofi. I think inside, Kofi's a lot bigger, a lot stronger, so he can certainly hold his own in there. But they like to use Pete on the perimeter, run some dribble handoff stuff, try and get him in space. And he's a good athlete. He can shoot it a little bit. So I think, especially against if Kofi's able to play against someone who would have a physical advantage over Pete inside, they'll try and use him on the perimeter a little bit more.
We know Boo Booey has a high ceiling on a given night. He's put up 30 in this league. I think he's been a little bit more consistent this year when you look at his game logs, and the three-point shot has been pretty good to him. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but what have you seen out of Boo, and what does he need to do, you know, matching up against Trent Frazier, Alfonso Plummer, in tomorrow's game to keep Northwestern in the game?
Yeah, he's throughout his 3 years in Northwestern, he's gotten a lot more in control. When he came in as a freshman a little bit last year, he just wanted to shoot. He didn't really care how open he was or how much time was left on the shot clock. If he thought he had a shot, he was going to let it fly. But he's a lot more in control this year. He's 15 points, 5 assists. He does a good job of setting up the offense. So I think he still sometimes falls in his old habits of kind of deep threes early in the shot clock and contested floaters. So I think the key for him is just, like, stay calm, don't panic, essentially. Just stay within the offense, and that's when I think he's at his best, when he's not going rogue, kind of, and taking bad shots.
Michael Fitzpatrick, our guest, beat writer for WildcatReport.com. I know Derek asked you about Pete Nance. He's had a pretty good career at Northwestern. And again, he's just one of those guys that is skilled enough to take you off the dribble, but he loves to just kind of stay back on that. Do you think, especially with an Illinois team that does pretty well with checking that 3-point line, do you think that could be a problem for Northwestern if they try to live in that area come Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, especially if Kofi plays. It's not easy to score inside or outside against Illinois. So I think Northwestern's got to hope they can hit some tough shots maybe from the outside, because I don't know if they have anyone who can match Kofi physically inside. And like you said, sometimes scoring outside is a challenge. So I think just hitting tough shots, making big plays, that's kind of what's going to come down to.
Looking at Northwestern defensively, I know they've given up a lot of 3-point shots, and in Big Ten play, opponents have hit above 39% from three against them in the league. And even watching the Michigan game, I know that they're forced to double Dickinson, which created some open shots. Is that maybe an issue that they're going to face against Kofi, or is that kind of a common theme that you've seen? What's made them give up the three as much as they have?
Yeah, definitely. Dickinson and Michigan, they got killed with doubling down on him and kicking out of the post. It's kind of a combination of things. I think, like, one-man breakdowns, missed rotations, and then also they they double a lot. They like to double the post and try and get the ball back outside. But if they sometimes don't rotate out quick enough and give up a wide open three. So, I mean, they've had all season to work on it. It's still kind of an issue. So I don't know if it'll fix itself by tomorrow, but they've definitely struggled with giving opposing teams a lot of open looks for three.
Where do you think this team is, maybe from a psyche standpoint, when you're in all these battles and you don't find a way to win? What have you noticed from maybe what the players have said or what Coach Collins has said about them being able to continue to try to get this thing right at the end and be able to have that effort rewarded like they did in East Lansing, but to be able to win a couple more of these games?
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive that they went and won in East Lansing after a couple close losses. I'm honestly impressed that they haven't had a game where they just kind of were flat so far. They give it everything they've got every time they're out there, so I have to give them credit for that. So I think I'm expecting them to come out with a good effort on Saturday, but it's just all about, I think where it shows up a lot is late in games when they shoot themselves in the foot, turnovers, missed free throws. I think there's a lot of memories of all the close losses these last couple of years that creep in, and they start doubting themselves and make a couple mistakes and then, you know, lose by two to Michigan kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Michael, are you shocked that Chris Collins is still there? Like when he took that job, I thought, okay, is he waiting for Coach K, or is he using this as kind of a stepping stone to maybe get somewhere? Not saying that Northwestern doesn't pay him well. Obviously got Northwestern to the tournament, which was a big deal a few years ago. But I don't know. Like, how do you feel like Collins is received there? Is he still received pretty well? And are you, I guess I'll start with what I started with, are you shocked that he's still there?
Shocked that he's still there. Not really, I guess, because the tournament year, I guess, I always kind of had the feeling he would only leave if, like, he could go back to Duke when Coach K stepped down. And then the 5 years since the tournament, his teams haven't been particularly good here at Northwestern. So I don't know if he's had a ton of opportunities to move on to a bigger job. And in terms of how he's received at Northwestern, I think there's a lot of talk about how hot his seat is with the new athletic director. That certainly doesn't help his case. And this is looking like five straight seasons finishing in the bottom five in the Big Ten. So there's certainly some people are saying this is his last season at Northwestern.
Be interesting. All right, Michael Fitzpatrick, beat writer for WildcatReport.com. Appreciate your time breaking down the Cats, my friend.
Of course, no problem.
All right, buddy, thank you. Michael Fitzpatrick talking Northwestern basketball. And I'll say this when I say that, are you surprised? I can't think of many tougher jobs in basketball than Northwestern. And if you don't think that Pat Fitzgerald is one hell of a coach, then look at what the basketball side of that is and how hard it is to win on the basketball side. Normally, it's easier to win at basketball than it is football. And especially when you're at a school like Northwestern, because you're only recruiting three guys a year or four, whereas Fitzgerald is recruiting 25 guys a year. And I just feel like it should be tougher for Northwestern football to be good than it is for Northwestern basketball, but it's the complete opposite. Pat Fitzgerald has done wonderful things. I know coming off the heels of a horrible season where Illinois rocked him, and it does seem like any more Northwestern's kind of up then down then up then down, and I think they're not going to be very good at all next year either in football. But certainly Pat Fitzgerald has won Big Ten titles. Didn't he play in a Big Ten championship game once over in Indy? So when I always sit there and brag about Pat Fitzgerald, it's not because I like the dude. I just think he's an unbelievable coach for where he's at and what he's been able to accomplish. And then you take a guy like Chris Collins. I have no idea if he's a good coach. I don't know. I don't know that if you put him at Michigan or if you put him at, I don't know, Wichita State, or somewhere like that, that he wouldn't do a lot better than what he's doing now. But I just think it's really hard to win at Northwestern. And even this season, I mean, what's the thing we're talking about going into this game is, wow, Northwestern's actually making games of this. And that's big news. Like, it's not that they're winning. It's that, wow, Northwestern, like, They took Michigan to the it's almost like, wow, you know, Lon, I know you got a C on that test, but you really tried. I mean, that's the way I see it. So I always wonder, like, can we get a full assessment and eval of Chris Collins because he's coaching Northwestern? Does that make sense, or am I continuing to have a horrible hour of radio?
It definitely makes sense. It makes me think of year one of Brad Underwood, where you have opposing coaches be like, man, they were tough to play against. But ultimately, that other team, that other coach was talking about his team's win, and that's the deal with Northwestern. Now, the problem is that was Brad's year one into year two. This is Chris Collins' ninth year at Northwestern. Now, had the up of reaching the tournament first time in program history, which was a milestone, which was very, very good for them.
Huge.
And I was shocked that they didn't do it again the following year when a lot of those guys came back. Since then, it's a tough place to recruit.
Yeah.
When you have the academic standards, when you're sitting there and you try to tell everybody you're Chicago's Big Ten team and you're the only one that really believes it. I mean, we've talked about how tough it is for Illinois to recruit Chicago at times. I mean, imagine for them. So, but then you look at Wisconsin, who doesn't kill it in recruiting rankings, and they've had a heck of a lot more success. So
yes, they have.
I don't know either. I am kind of surprised that he's been able to string it out this long. But then, of course, the question is, well, if it's not going to be Chris Collins, who are you going to get to make it better?
Right.
And that's a tough deal. But if they finish below, if they manage to finish below, I don't think they will, like Nebraska, who hasn't won a game in the Big Ten, then I could see them making a move. Or even if they are 13th again.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's somebody else's try.
I just don't know. I mean, it seems, I mean, they've had some coaches that have seemingly had good teams, but never good enough. You know, who was the guy that cursed all the time? At Northwestern. Ran the Princeton offense.
Oh, Bill Carmody.
Bill Carmody. Boy, was he a sailor's mouth. And, you know, like, they've had some guy. I mean, Carmody, you know, he had some good teams. Kevin Coble, you talk about him. I mean, they had some teams that were pretty tough to beat, but they never could quite make it to the tournament. They just, I don't know, it's just, it's Northwestern.
And that's the bottom line.
Unfortunately, it's kind of what Illinois has been in football.
Yeah.
So, that stinks to realize that. That really, wow, that just kind of saddened me right there because I just thought of that. I think Brett Bielema's going to change that. I really, really think so. All right, when we come back, speaking of football, I got to get out of here to go watch a JV and varsity game tonight next hour. So Trevor and you will jump in. We didn't want to go too many days in a row of just you and I. I mean, we didn't want to really shock the system that hard. So we thought, okay, let's do this. Lon, you get out of here early Friday so that everybody can be like, okay, that was almost too much of Derek and Lon. And get Trevor back in here because he just hasn't had enough airtime here in the last 3 weeks. But when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on these NFL games coming up this weekend. What do they call it? Championship week? Championship weekend or yes. Championship week? So we'll kind of break down our thoughts on the Bengals. And by the way, it's the Bengals, right? It's not the Bengals. So I
heard someone say that today.
Golic.
Bengals.
Golic says Bengals.
I've always said Bengals.
Have you really?
I have.
But it's B-E, right? The Bengals were a group. And I'll come out playing like a Bengals song if that would help. But it's Bing, right? Bing, isn't it? But you say bang.
I guess so.
You say bang. Bengals.
Bang, bang. Bengals.
Trevor, how do you say it?
Bengals.
Bengals. The Bengals.
Bing. Yeah, I think you go
now,
more
this
bing.
Is one of those things where you say now the word enough times it. And you're like, that is a weird word.
It is.
Bangle.
Bing.
The Bengals.
Bengals.
The Bengals?
It's hard because of the G, I think.
The Bengals.
Because even there, I feel like you're saying Bengals, but yet because of the G, it almost sounds like Bengals.
That's right.
It's hard.
The Bengals.
And now everybody
Bengals.
Everybody in their car right now is doing it. And
the Bengals.
Like,
the Bengals?
The Bengals. Not the Bengals.
The Burrows.
There is a group called the Bengals.
With an A?
Yep. Oh. I'm going to play them coming out.
Crap.
So your mom Bengals. Will like it.
Perfect.
Your mom will be like, yeah, Lon played some music from a group I know. We'll do it next. It's the drive.
Bengals. When you order a doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, schedule a delivery of their 6-cubic-yard doggy bag at a cost of only $35. Step 2, you fill the doggy bag. Anything other than electronics, appliances, or hazardous materials are accepted. Step 3, schedule a time for your doggy bag to be picked up. And that's it. The doggy bag is designed to hold up to 1 ton of material. So get a doggy bag with Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, where it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Find out more at bulldoggybag.com.
My name is Major Randy Summitt. I'm with the Salvation Army. And with our mission here of serving those in the name of Jesus Christ without discrimination, if you could help us out, people who can financially support us for all the programs that are going on, our Veterans Service Program, which helps veterans in need throughout Champaign County, our Title 20 Program, which helps people with job training assistance and those who have been incarcerated getting back on their feet, of course, our rent and our utility assistance, it's one of our largest, that being our food pantry. If you can give to the Salvation Army, visit our website at sachampaign.org.
Your anti-aging skincare routine shouldn't stop at the neck. Get the rest of your body in on the action with Merle Norman's new Anti-Aging Complex Body Lotion. This rejuvenating moisturizer delivers long-lasting hydration that softens and smooths for visibly younger-looking skin beneath your chin. Experience our most luxurious, advanced age-defying moisturizer today at Merle Norman Cosmetics, 1123 Windsor Road, Champaign, Illinois. Find us on social media at Merle Norman Cosmetics, Champaign.
It's time to be bold and get cold for the athletes at Special Olympics Illinois. Plunge our way at Lake of the Woods in Mahomet starting at noon on Saturday, March 19th. And if you're more into running, take the Donut Dash 5K that morning, kicking off at 9 a.m. Or plunge your way by yourself or in a small group at home, school, or at the office. It's not where you plunge, but that you plunge. For more information, visit plungeillinois.com and click Mahomet Polar Plunge and Donut Dash, sponsored by EDJ Broadcasting, Texas Roadhouse, McAllister's Deli, and Jewel Osco.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
The Delta variant spreads 2 times faster. Delta puts unvaccinated people in the hospital. Delta is deadly. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Defeat Delta. Let's go all in, Illinois.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg, Cats Lon Tay, and Derek Piper. Weekdays from 4 to 6, right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Reminding me how bad I've been this hour. It was not Carmody. Kevin O'Neill was the foul-mouthed coach at Northwestern. Thank you. This is the Bengals.
My mind is so messed up right now.
Walk like an Egyptian. Do you like this kind of music? This is what I had to listen to. It's the crap I had to listen to growing up.
Nah, it's not my jam.
No. Here it is. Here's the big part.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Bonk. There it is. That's what we did.
Is that a maraca?
And then people are doing it in the video. Oh, boy. Okay, so enough of the Bengals and Bengals.
Trevor, I mean, my generation's done the dab and the Soldier Boy, so I'm not saying we're better.
Okay, that is true. Trevor said, is it Xavier or Xavier? And it brought me to Xavier McDaniel. Do you know he was the first person to lead the nation in both rebounding and scoring in the same season? And to boot, he shaved both his head and his eyebrows to look more intimidating in both college and professional. How about that? Played at Wichita State. He was really good. All right, Trevor, do we think that Cincinnati and Joe Burrow have a chance against the Chiefs? I'll put it that way. Do you? Derek Piper?
Do they have a chance?
Do they have a chance?
They've already beaten them
within
the last month or so. So there's that.
But after that game against Buffalo,
I don't think they'll win. No.
Okay.
And I'm discouraged by the fact, if you're looking at it from the Kansas City side, yes, they've won two playoff games. Yes, they're in the AFC title game. They've scored three touchdowns in two playoff games. So they've been kicking a lot of field goals.
Okay.
That's not going to work this upcoming Sunday in Arrowhead with the way that Mahomes
is going.
I know Burrow's played great, and they did not guard Ja'Marr Chase for anything.
No, he had like 259 or something.
They should probably adjust their coverage and not leave him one-on-one when it's third and 30 again. But
I think, does Kansas City cover a seven-point spread? I think
most likely.
I think so, too.
The viewer at home, I hope it's just like what we saw this past weekend.
Ugh.
Ton of points, ton of yards, back and forth.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you don't want another game like that, do you? I mean, I don't know how you handled the first one, let alone, I mean, it makes it a little easier when you've won the game. All right, Niners and Rams. Did I hear this correctly today, that the Niners have defeated the Rams six straight times?
There's all those
weird things,
inner working streaks within that division.
I know.
Like, you guys own the Niners, right? But hadn't beat the Rams in forever, but beat them this year.
Right.
And then I think Seattle's had a really good streak against you guys. And
it's weird.
I don't know.
It is weird. And that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, look, has Matthew Stafford...
Scott Frost!
I didn't mean to hit that. I actually didn't mean to hit that, but it worked out well. Has Matthew Stafford... I mean, he's shown you that he's a pretty good quarterback. He's had a great year. Trevor Simmons.
Yeah, he definitely has. And Bears fans have known that. Like, if you've been paying attention to him in Detroit, you know he's super talented.
Yes.
And that's never been a question. He had a streak there towards the end of the year. He was throwing a lot of interceptions, a lot of picks. Was he going to be the reason that they were the out? But he played great against Tampa. And I forget. Oh, shoot. Now I remember who they played before.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
The thing I will say, I don't think the Niners will be the team to do it. But making him play from behind, putting some pressure on him,
good call,
could force him to make some mistakes. Tampa was down by multiple scores fairly early in that game. That was pretty easy for them. But obviously when you got Cooper Kupp, you got Odell playing the way he has. Van Jefferson's a very good third receiver. Cam Akers is healthy. Got a lot of weaponry.
I feel, and I know it's dumb to say because San Francisco's had two unbelievable victories, but I just feel like there's something going on with the Rams right now. And I just think that's the team that's going to be in the Super Bowl. So I really do think we're going to see a Rams-Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Same with you?
I agree with that.
Okay.
It was very predictable wild card weekend.
Then it
was upset special this past weekend. Now it could be chalk in these two
chalk
games.
In these two. That'll be the third straight year of the Bengals. No, dang it. The Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, right? Why did that stop?
Yes.
Are you doing this, Trevor? Are you doing that? I don't understand what's going on. This is him doing this. I didn't know he could do that in there.
Scott Frost!
How in the world are you doing that? Huh?
I learned something new today.
That you can take control of the board?
And I wanted to try it out.
Oh, wow!
Before long left.
What an hour this has been. Can I get out of here before I hurt someone?
What? I have no idea where you're going with that.
I got to get out of here.
He's very powerful.
Yeah, this is crazy. It is. All right, you guys have a good last hour. I'm hoping Andrew plays better than I did a radio show today. How about that? You boys have a good weekend.
You as well.
We'll talk to you Monday. It is The Drive.
Enough!
This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate. Number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction. With a home sold every 9 hours. Ryan Dallas Real Estate. Online at RyanDallasRE.com.